Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson, and then ranging far and wide. And after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." The object lesson for our series this evening is hyssop. Hyssop. We have a few strands of it here on the altar. It grows about 2 feet tall, a fairly bushy little shrub. Significant in what the people of Israel used the hyssop for. They would take the hyssop and they would use it for sprinkling or splattering. Hyssop, back in the day of the Passover in Egypt, hyssop would be used, bunched together, tied with scarlet yarn to bundle a bunch of hyssop, and then they would take the hyssop and, notice how it's done, dip it in the blood of the lamb in the threshold and mark the top and the sides of the door. And as they did that, they made the sign of the cross in the blood of the lamb. Very important. As the people of Israel went out of Egypt and they got to Mount Sinai, it was time for some sacrifices. And Moses took the blood of the bulls, and at one point he took a bunch of hyssop, and with the hyssop, splattered the people of Israel. I was curious about that years ago, and so I decided to do an experiment. I was at a Lutheran school, 150 kids there in the chapel, and I got some hyssop. Tiny little leaves, great for holding water. And I used water, not lamb's blood. No, not inside. The janitor would have been very unhappy. But I took it, and in one swipe and a snap of the wrist, like so, I caught over two-thirds of the kids sitting there. Each one had felt a drop of water. Quite an amazing thing for the scattering of the blood back in the Old Testament. Hyssop then becomes a marker. And the rule is, if it's a marker, as often as you run into hyssop in the Old Testament, expect to see something in that text that points to the cross. And it happens. And then hyssop gets used in the New Testament. Do you remember how that happened? Jesus on the cross, and he was thirsty. Someone took a sponge, sour wine, stalk of hyssop, held it up for him to have a drink. Becomes a marker because it always points to the sacrifice. So all of the images start coming together. The blood of the lamb, the Passover, the deliverance, the saving from death, the coming out of slavery and into walking with God, the passing through the waters, images of baptism down into the water and back out, the people of Israel called by God's name and walking with him, going to the promised land. All of it starts tumbling together. And you get to the Passover on the day of Maundy Thursday. It was the time for the lambs to be sacrificed, and Jesus was going to eat the Passover with his disciples. Now, he was going to eat the Passover with his disciples means that there was long history leading up to this, and he was taking what was promised in the Old Testament and bringing the fulfillment into being. the fulfillment of salvation and delivery and forgiveness and God's wrath passing over and not striking us down and belonging to God and being called His own and being called out of slavery to sin and into freedom as children of God. And all of that comes together in the one meal. But of course, it is not the blood of a Passover lamb back in Egypt that set the people of Israel free. It was the blood of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb who came to Jerusalem, the Passover lamb who offered himself, the Passover lamb who is the Savior. And Jesus sat with his disciples at the table, and they ate and they drank and they celebrated freedom, being delivered. And in the middle of this, he takes the bread and he says to them, "This is my body. Eat." And the disciples do. And you wonder whether the disciples really understood what was happening. And it's a fair question to ask, because Jesus did a number of things that the disciples did not understand at the time. And then, as Mark has it written down, he takes the cup, gives thanks, gives it to them. They all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant." In so many ways, at so many times, Jesus does not wait for us to understand all that he is doing for us. He goes ahead and he does it. And this is true in the Old Testament, and the people of Israel, they wonder, they're confused, they don't have things sorted out, and God gives them salvation anyway. How many people came to Jesus and saw him only as a healer? And yet in the giving of the healing, he calls them into a deeper relationship with him, and they would understand later. And just this last Sunday, reading through the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, we noted this in the gospel lesson. His disciples did not understand these things then, but later on when he was risen from the dead, then they understood. Jesus comes to us. And in one way, in one very important way, we do not fully understand the Lord's Supper. We can walk through it in our catechism and say, yes, it is Jesus' body, it is his blood, his true body, his true blood, for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation, and we can put together all those wonderful statements about the Lord's Supper. But, again, and this I learned in seminary, talking to the professors, and asking questions, and you get to a point where they say, "No, I don't fully understand it. I believe it. I know it is true. I take God at His word. I try and understand as much of it as I possibly can, but I know that there are ways that what God does will always be somewhat beyond my understanding." That's actually not a bad place to be. Because there always is more to understand, there always is more to learn from this meal, from the Savior, from our relationship with God, and it goes on and on. There never is that point where you say, "Okay, I've learned all there is to know about God. Now I can do something else with my life." He will always amaze, always fascinate, always pull us to himself, and we will always find that a gracious and merciful Savior, giving his body and his blood, first on the cross for us, and then also in the supper for us to eat and to drink, that goes way beyond anything that we can fully comprehend. So, this supper is a place where God comes to meet us, and we find out that he is God and he is beyond us, and yet he calls us into that relationship, sweet as it is, that relationship with himself, and lets us know that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that all of his grace and his mercy is poured out on us, that what Jesus did on the cross is given to us to be on our lips, on our tongues, in our mouths, so that we may taste and see that the Lord is good, so that we may eat and drink salvation. What an amazing thing. And then, an observation. What did Jesus say to his disciples? I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Feast after feast comes and passes by, yet passing points to that glad feast above. We come to the table. We have a bite. We have a sip. And we go away. We'll come back on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Another bite. Another sip. And we'll go away. A couple weeks later, we'll come back to the same table for the same food, for the same blessings, to the same Savior, to the same bread and wine, body and blood, the same blessings, the same forgiveness and life and salvation, the same promise of eternity, the same meal. And we go through our lives with that one meal given to us. It's a life-sustaining meal. It's a life-giving meal. In that meal, what Jesus gives to us is his living body and blood. His living, risen from the dead, body and blood. And why he gives that to us is so that we may share in the risen from the dead. Risen from the dead power of Jesus, risen from the dead promises of Jesus, risen from the dead life of Jesus. He puts into this supper everything that he is and everything that he has done for us. This is an absolutely amazing thing. We come to the supper, and what do we bring to the supper? And you could say, well, we have nothing of worth to bring to the supper. Still, what do we bring to the supper? We bring ourselves. Sinners as we are, we bring our prayers and we bring our doubts. We bring our hopes, we bring our fears. We bring the gospel and the faith that he has put in our hearts, and we bring our questions. We bring our joys and we bring our sorrows. And it is a true statement that God calls us to come here with everything that is in our lives. I learned this in a powerful way first over the years and then visiting churches in Africa. Over the years, there have been times when I have seen people come to the Lord's Supper in tears. And then I went to Africa and saw people coming to the Lord's Supper dancing and celebrating. The full extremes of all human emotion, of everything that we are and have, and Jesus invites all of us, every part of us, to be there at his supper, to be joined to him, because he is joining all that he is with us. It is the most amazing thing for a Christian to say, here I come to my Lord and my God. I hold nothing back. I don't conceal my doubts or my fears. I don't try and put on a false front or appear righteous before God. I come simply as I am, because God has called me to come here. You can see it in the words of Jesus. He calls it his blood of the covenant, poured out for many and for the forgiveness of sins. And when he says for the forgiveness of sins, that's his call to every person on this planet to learn who he is and come to his supper, because he has life that he offers here to us and to everybody. So Jesus, eating and drinking with his disciples, gave them a promise. And the promise was that he would one day eat it new with them in the kingdom of God. There will be a day when Jesus returns and that great marriage feast of the Lamb takes place. Jesus shares himself with us, giving to us all of the blessings. And we, risen from the dead with bodies transformed and made new by the power of the resurrection, able to see him face to face, able to reach out and touch him as the disciples did, we will come to the table and celebrate once again. This is a meal that lasts. It has lasted for 2,000 years. It will continue on until the great marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. In Jesus' name, Amen.